Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in League, the ladies of North Queensland rejoice there's now something Origin related to do that doesn't involve fucking JT on a dumpster behind the Ville.
Manly sadly suffer the same fate as Paul Walker as they discover there's such a thing as too much turbo.
Tigers fans shilling Leilua for Origin takes the title of worst ever use of change.org from reigning champ Dennis Ferguson for Play School.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 13 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in League. Welcome to episode 404 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am a victim of podcast bullying.
Why is that, mate? You're right. Which podcast is picking on your buddy?
You should be using an English accent and saying Glen E.
Oh, no, Glen E.
Did you call Hamish and Andy cunts again?
Oh, no. God. What did they do to you?
They were cunts. What are you going to do?
lovely.
Right. Can we just start doing that? Like, we're just going to start adding random podcasts saying Glenn wants to fight the host.
Why not? And something like Hamish and Andy, why not punch up?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way to go, really.
Yeah. Ones are good? Like, I don't listen to a lot of Australian podcasts, but Rove McManus has one.
Do you think? Or is he just exactly the same as David Letterman's one?
Yeah.
Like everything else he's done in his fucking career. Yeah.
Yeah.
The end game is we just get Glenn, we just move him up through the weight divisions fighting fucking podcast hosts, and then ultimately we fucking obviously go for the fucking kingpin. After we get him to fight Mark Maron, which is a fight that he'd probably win, then we get him to fight Logan
Paul.
Well, I mean, do they podcast or do they just do the
YouTube thing?
They do. I mean, they're on everything, but I mean, they pump their content through everything, no doubt. Yeah. But,
I better start training.
Go through Paul Gallen first.
Start training. And maybe get that shoulder surgery done too.
Half the fun, not training. As I said earlier, before we hit record, on several occasions over the last many years, you've given the indication that we may be, to some capacity, friends, yet you constantly suggest me dying in different ways. It's a little weird.
This wasn't dying. It was more like, it was more like knockouts and head trauma. Mm. And like, as Gus Gould said, I mean, like you got to read the science. It's no problem. It's all good.
CTE to Gus Gould is a myth, just like COVID and the clitoris.
But I mean, honestly, I mean, look at that guy's rig though. You know, look at that face. I mean, I don't think you'd even give him a fucking... You wouldn't even approve fucking mining rights for exploration, would you? He's got no chance of finding it.
Can you imagine cunnelling his time at the Gould household? Like,
he just walks around at the foot of the bed saying, the time is now when the champions are... He's talking to some camera, some fucking spider cam that's not there.
It'd be like, do you remember the end of Terminator 2 when the metal ones, like, going through all the different, like, morphing into the different faces?
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be hard to tell where her Terry folds finished and his facial flaps began.
It'd be like three bulldogs eating a cold bowl folds of Weet-Bix.
Oh, dear.
Right. Welcome, new listeners.
Yeah, welcome, new listeners. I mean, farewell, new listeners.
And all you other cunts, you know what you're getting yourself in for.
And by new listeners, I mean Hamish and Andy, who are now fucking scared and have turned it off. You fucking cowards.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
I said it.
Go and play with your fucking Lego, Ham, because enjoy it while you can before fucking Glenn stomps down there and fucking jams it up your ass. Now, I was talking about Lego, right? There was nothing, you know.
He's gonna fuck you with scissors.
I wasn't calling you. I wasn't saying you, Greg, or anything. No, there's anything wrong with that. Now, let's hit some news. The big story of the week, of course, at least on the socials, I guess, is due to the lockdown in Victoria, in Melbourne, the first State of Origin game required relocation, and the venue was decided earlier today, and that venue is Townsville. So it's going to be up there at what we call the Abattoir, at the Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville on Wednesday the 9th of June, so that's Wednesday week. And the Australian Rugby League Commission and Victorian Government approved the relocation from the MCG after their outbreak down there of the old Rona. And so Melbourne, in payback, I suppose, or will now host games in 2024 and 2026. And it's weird that they had to get compensatory games when they couldn't fucking, you know, fulfill the obligations under their existing contract. But yes, I mean, it's great. I mean, look, it's great to, they've got a great brand new stadium up there.
Do you think it's that they couldn't fulfill the obligations, or that the game said they're not willing to go down there? Because it sounds like the latter, based on
that. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it could have been both. I mean, because let's face it, the NRL do react pretty strongly and quickly when it comes down to COVID things. Like, even not that long ago, like, you know, the Storm just go, okay, we're staying up in Sunny Coast. You know, they can just adapt instantly now, you know, based on what they've been through over the last sort of, you know, 12 months. But it's a brand new venue, state-of-the-art venue, can definitely host a major event like a State of Origin game. Obviously, it's not, you know, not nearly the capacity of something like the MCG, but, you know, where does in Australia. However, look, I think it's while it's not a neutral venue, I still think it's one of those good things for the game. And people always talk about, you know, taking games to places, and if nothing else, Townsville in North Queensland is an extremely passionate part of the country for rugby league support and fandom. And I think they'll turn on a.
But also importantly, like, you know, given we've just had Indigenous round.
Yes.
North Queensland is in that stadium's in a much closer proximity to a lot of communities with higher Indigenous populations.
Mm-hmm.
Who now have access to a State of Origin game that they wouldn't have had previously, and probably wouldn't have had the chance to, you know, within the near future.
Yep.
So, I haven't heard anyone bitching about it.
You know what the bitching is that I've seen? This is on social media, and obviously that is a fucking segment within a segment within a segment.
Yeah.
The bitching has been from Queensland supporters saying, oh, the Blues are bitching and they've got their excuses lined up already. Thing is, I haven't seen anybody from New South Wales, so I'd say anything negative about it at all. I think it's great. And look, you know, the only downside is obviously, you know, the game's going to take a hit in revenue when the largest venue that's
in the country
holding a State of Origin fixture. The largest venue that's holding a State of Origin fixture now, this series, which is, you know, in New South Wales, I mean, that's game three, so that's going to be dead rubber after New South Wales raised the shield at Suncorp after game two. So they're obviously going to take a financial bath on people, you know, perhaps not going back to see the whitewash. But other than that, I can't think of any downsides to it.
Yeah. And if you take a step back and say we're in the middle of a fucking global pandemic still.
Yep.
What would you prefer? Nothing? Or would you prefer a couple of the players to come through Melbourne, where there seems to be fucking 84 new cases every 10 minutes?
Yep.
And all of a sudden you've got entire clubs that can't play?
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Given the
people
context,
have short fucking memories.
Look, I...
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, bitching and moaning about this was only 12 months ago where... We were like, fucking, how long is it going to be before we can watch rugby league?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And look, in the spirit of the honesty, I find it in myself. You know, I find it now. I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm right back to, oh, fuck this shit. This is fucked, blah, 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 blah. And as much as being stuck in traffic's a first world problem, I remember coming out of lockdown last time. I was, oh, fuck, how good.
It's like driving through I Am Legend.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Or just the fact that you weren't required or obligated to drive, period. Yeah. Like your work was happy for you to log in from home.
Yeah, that's it.
And, yeah. Or as I like to call it, everyday life. Let's talk about the teams, hey, for game one of Origin. Queensland originally laid out a squad, but they've since sort of carved that down a little bit and got themselves a 17 ready to go. So just quickly, New South Wales, fullback James Tedesco, wingers Josh Addo-Carr and Brian To'o, centres Latrell and Tommy Turbo, halves Luai and Cleary. Then we've got the forwards Saifidi Daniel, Cook, predictably hooker, Jake Turbo, Cameron Murray, Tarek Sims, Isaiah Yeo, and then we go to the bench, Jack White and Junior Polo, Payne Haas, Liam Martin, with the 18th man, Appy Korosau, 19th, Campbell Graham. Queensland, Callum Ponga at fullback. Wingers, Xavier Coates and Valentine Holmes. Capewell and Gagai in the centres. Munster and Daly in the halves. Their forwards, Christian Welch, Tino Fasulumalawi, Harry Grant at hooker. So he's obviously passed his fitness test. And did I read that Reid Marnie's been released to go? Yeah, he can play for Parramatta. Yeah. Okay, what else we got? Felice Kafusi got off his charges at the judiciary, so he'll take his place in the 11. Dave Fifita, Dry Arrow rounding out the pack, and their bench, AJ Brimson, Jaden Sua, Mo Fotowaika, and Joe Offahengawe. Their additional troops, Kyle Felt and Cohen Hess. And I don't know what's going on. This Cohen Hess, so he doesn't play this weekend anyway, so I guess he'll stay in camp and save for Feldy because Cowboys have a bye anyway. Yeah. What do you make of the teams? Who wants to say something first?
The thing I noticed, first of all, two really good sides, I feel. But first glance, I think the New South Wales side, obvious advantage in the centres. I think Tommy Turbo's in, certainly Gagai, he does grow a leg at Origin time, but if they can get Trbojevic and Mitchell on the other side, early ball and a bit of space, that's going to be really dangerous. And I think for Queensland, the most obvious advantage for them, I think, is probably on the edges through the forwards with Fifita and Kafusi, with those, you know, those guys, really solid edge runners, quick play the balls. Fifita in particular can be quite destructive, and I think there's a couple of obvious advantages there for either side, but two really, really strong sides.
First thing I notice is that Greg Alexander's a blue selector. The Queensland team, looking over the park, like you look at it and, you know, you're right, Glenn, the first instinct is, oh, yeah, two really, really good sides. That Queensland team is a fucking monster. Look at the talent they've got and look at the people they've got in key positions. And again, I know a lot of it's pending fitness. Like Munster's been named.
Yeah, you know? and Munster's probably the worst, the most tenuous one in there, because it's not even whether he can get up for this game next Wednesday night, but I remember hearing on the radio on the weekend, it's more that like Bellamy and the Storm, Frank Panisi, are actually concerned that, like, if his injury goes any further than it is, then he's looking at massive timeout. And so they're like, you know, sure, he might be able to cobble himself together to play Origin, but if he exacerbates his injury, well, then he fucks their season.
Yeah, that's it. And he, as a Blue supporter, he's the one that worries me.
Yeah. He's the one you can't cope. Like, there's game plans that you can nullify the impact of some players. He's one of those rare guys that you're fucked.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to use a catchphrase, he is built for Origin. You know, he is that in-your-face 80-minute player that's, absolute fucking nightmare.
On the New South Wales side, on the New South Wales side, I mean, you think of a close series last year, and there was some. It was a close series, but yet there were some glaring fucking deficiencies in the makeup of the New South Wales side.
Yeah,
particularly in the centres with fucking Gutho and Jack Whiten, neither of whom should have been there. I mean, Whiten you could have made sort of half an argument for because, I mean, he has performed at that level before more as a sort of an interchange kind of guy, but they were both fucking, they both took absolute fucking baths, and Gutho in particular getting absolutely rinsed by fucking Capewell.
Yeah. That's
like,
it.
It was just unforgivable, and which led me to say, like, a couple of weeks on the show, if fucking Gutho gets picked in New South Wales side, then I'm going for Queensland, and I'm glad that it didn't come to that. I'm glad the selectors fucking came to their senses there. And like, honestly, I don't think even if, like, you know, Latrell wasn't back from injury, I still don't think Gutho would have slid in. I still think he was probably two or three back from...
He's the one that concerns me.
Latrell?
I shouldn't say the one. I have concerns about Latrell and his head in that space of, is Latrell, because remember when he was dumped from Origin and it was for attitude stuff and stuff at training and how he performed in key moments of the game. Is he now that person who, if he has a couple of fuck ups, goes, shit, I need to redeem myself in the eyes of my teammates, really double down on effort and have a perfect rest of this game? Or is he, fuck you cunts, you can't judge me. Who do you think you are?
I don't know, he's gonna be feeding fucking Foxy meat pies all night long.
Okay.
And also the other glaring deficiency that New South Wales had, or one of the other deficiencies they had, is that they only selected half of Nathan Cleary's game plan, so we got nothing, like literally nothing out of him that series. But with the advent and call up for Jerome Luai, now we can get to see Cleary's entire game in play in an established combination, a successful combination, and I expect that this to be his best representative series that he's ever had. Rather than having a game, I expect him to have an excellent series.
His game itself has evolved in leaps and bounds this year from what it was last year anyway.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't bet money on that being enough if it were just him, and they stuck someone like Cody Walker or something, you know, someone like that with him.
Yeah.
Now that he's got his boy, I have the utmost confidence that the two of those guys are going to run fucking rampant. And then you've got, like, you know, Tedesco. Tedesco's one of the guys. Now I look at the New South Wales, like, he's one of the guys I'm more worried about, because he's been pretty fragile lately and also targeted a lot as well. And he can get knocked out of a fucking game really easily. And I mean, you know, it's a wonderful luxury to have, you know, Tommy Turbo there you can drop back. And it's going to be great to have, like, someone like Brian Toro fucking bringing back the easy meters from, you know, kick returns and whatnot.
Yeah. And this was my other thing about the forwards. You know, really, you look at Penrith's forwards.
Yep.
They aren't absolute world beaters season in and season out. They've grown into that role, and part of that is that people like To'o taking so much of that responsibility in eating meters.
Yep.
Lets them focus on more simple tasks. So
yep.
New South Wales, clean sweep.
Yep.
13+ every game.
Yep, clean sweep. And, like, you talked about the edges for Queensland. And, like, you got your Tinos and your Dave Fafitas and your Mo Fotowakers and so forth. Let me just say, it was just last weekend when the three of them were rinsed by Aaron Woods and fucking Aidan Tolman. So I'm surprised we didn't see Aidan Tolman and fucking Aaron Woods selected in New South Wales side, just because they've shown the way to absolutely trample those myths.
You would have supported Queensland if Gutho got picked, but here you are advocating for Tolman and Woods.
I'm just saying that New South Wales would easily have won if they selected them, but they've actually selected better players across the park, so it's not even challenging at this point.
Well, I'd have to say this is a first year in recent memory where you can look at both sides and there's not really a massive head scratcher, like a guy that's out of position. Like you spoke about Whiten in the centres and Gutho in the centres. And Queensland have had their share over time, and I think Queensland probably do it sometimes and bank on the fact that, you know, once they put the Queensland jersey on, that, you know, they go in there and do their job. But the most pleasing thing for me, and I think it means it probably brings a better spectacle of a game, is, you know, the skill level of these guys. Kurt Capewell's played a lot of centre, but you'd still say he was a back rower, but certainly for New South Wales, like the strike power there in the back line is, if they get a roll on, they could legitimately with plenty of possession and a roll on through the middle, like that back line could fucking cut them shreds.
Yep. And that's the main thing that I like about New South Wales side, just the attacking potency, and I guess the. If there's something else I like seeing, I mean, I don't like seeing Tarek Sims in the side per se because he's a loose cunt. Mm. But at the same time, if Dry Arrow or someone does try and fucking knock Teddy out of the game, I can also see Tarek Sims being the guy that knocks Dry Arrow out of the fucking game. Whereas last year, nobody stepped up to, you know, and that was kind of the turning of the decider, you know, of the series, like the way that they didn't, you know, respond after Teddy got knocked out of the game. You know, so I mean, they're not full of loose cunts, but you know, they've got one fiery fucking line.
And I think
the way the
game is currently, I think one's your maximum amount of loose cunts in the side that you can carry.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they officiate it as well. You know, like, I mean, Origin always tends to have a little bit more leeway given to it.
It does, but it'll be a very fine line with the way the media has been jumping all over this stuff.
The media being the way they are going to absolutely demand exact consistency between Origin and club level, which may, you know, place pressure on the referees to, you know, do some head scratching shit.
But they take away, you know, like they take out the fact that, whether people want to admit it or not, the NRL club product is a vastly different product to State of Origin. Always has been, always will be, and there's obvious reasons for that.
Yeah.
So it's just the big push is, you know, for the CTE side of things and contact with the head, and the NRL and Volandis in particular have, you know, they've drawn their line in the sand, and this is a litmus test for, you know, how hard they're going to hold strong and maintain the stance. Because if they flake out now, like, they're fucking the wolves will come in for Volandis. There's already talk about revolts and all the rest of it. It'll get worse.
Prediction: the head stuff will be exactly as it has been since Magic Round, in State of Origin. They won't have any leeway at all on that. And regardless of if you think that's good or bad, one thing that everyone can know is that the fucking absolute scumbag journos, no matter what happens, will write clickbait articles, and people will fucking click on it and be outraged.
Mm. Yep. My prediction is that we're going to get penalties and potentially things that aren't necessarily sin bins, as they, you know, that don't go to the bin like they would have through the club level, but we're still going to see sin binnings.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to see time-traveling fucking tenant shit where they go back fucking to like three sets earlier and pull out a guy that was, you know, put a guy on report for fucking something that they didn't even see or penalise or anything.
This is what I'm saying. I think 100% it is officiated exactly the same as club games.
I reckon you'll see it in, you might see it in match review committee stuff, but I don't think you're going to see shit like we did on Sunday. Like that level of shit. Like there was shit on Sunday where they went back like two or three sets to put like Clemmer or someone on report for a tackle that wasn't penalised, wasn't sin bin. It was the worst tackle of the game, and it was the worst penalty at the judiciary after the game. But, you know, they never, they didn't, they got it like, you know, 5 minutes later. So, I don't think we'll see that, but I think we'll see plenty of fucking penalties, and we're definitely going to see some fucking sin binnings. And look, honestly, if Queensland lose guys to the bin, they're getting torn to pieces because New South Wales have the players to take advantage of that scenario.
Correct.
But more on that as we get closer and the teams get solidified. We'll talk about it more on Sunday. The other story from this week, because obviously we do have a lot of origin and interest stories as they happen at this time, but the other story is just came out like not long before we actually started recording. The Sharks have reportedly signed Nico Hines to a 3-year deal for the start of 2022 onward, goes through to the end of 2024, and... what were the dollars on that? I think it was something. It was around like it was decent cash. Wasn't it around like $600 a year? I think it was. But just funny, we're only just talking about him on the last episode. What's going to happen? Who's going to get him? How much money he's going to go for? And there you go, instantly. So apparently, there are several clubs chasing his services, but he chose the Sharks. And
interesting choice.
Have they said what they've bought him as to play 1 or 6?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, he's been recruited in this in the press release I'm looking at. He's been recruited to take on a position in their halves. So Craig Fitzgibbon okay. obviously has his plans for him. Where yep. exactly, though?
So who's out of favour, or does Moylan go to fullback?
Because you're not going to
fucking
Will,
yes, please.
Will Kennedy's not going to get displaced as fullback, though. I mean, he's been fucking one. He's been like the most improved Cronulla player this season.
Yeah.
And probably, yeah, arguably their best player all season. So he's
the most dynamic point in their attack.
Yeah, and he's established his place there. I think there's no way Moylan fucking supplants him in that role.
Yeah, but you know what? Money talks.
Yeah, but they've also just re-signed Will Kennedy as well. You know what I mean? So like it's that sounds to me like a Fitzgibbon for next year move, and the decision's kind of been made. You know, in respect to Will Kennedy. I mean, yeah, Moylan, he could fuck off to England too.
Yeah, true.
Really? I mean,
if they can get money for him.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that he's never, is he ever going to represent value for money?
No.
Probably not.
Right-o, short previews for this week. We've only got the four games there with the Raiders, the Doggies, Sharks, Manly, Cowboys, Rabbitohs, and Roosters and Warriors all having buys for the Origin round. The first game we're going to have is Thursday night, and it is the Dragons taking on the Broncos in Netstrata Jubilee. Dragon side. Okay, so Dufty and Kerr return. Sims is out of the side, obviously on Origin duties, but we get the return of the alleged unconvicted... whatever, Jack DeBellin, after 2 years absent from the game. Ramsey moves to the wing to accommodate Dufty's return. Rabalawa comes back and fills the other wing. Jordan Pereira drops the reserves. Bird replaces Sims in the back row with Willie Arm at centre. Broncos side. Gamble and Lodge return from their suspension. Haas is missing on New South Wales duties. Xavier Coates is missing through Queensland duties. Cobbo comes into the side for Coates. Selwyn Cobbo on the wing, and who else is there? Flegler shifts to the front row for Haas, and Milford drops out to make way for the returning Gamble. What do you make of that one, Glennie?
Oh, the selection of DeBellin, in my personal opinion, doesn't sit right with me. And, at the end of the day, he's done his time in court, and he hasn't been convicted, and mm-hmm. By the law, he's free to earn a living. But it's not a good look for me. I think the fact that it was a home game as well probably softens the blow for the Dragons, because he's going to be in for some treatment at away games. That is one thing's for certain.
There are going to be games where he gets absolutely fucking rinsed.
I'm not sure whether they have to play. Have they already played Manly at Brookvale, or do they play Manly at Brookvale? I don't think he's going to enjoy that if that happens.
No, I mean God, I mean like I just think of the way that, honestly, physical abuse is like the it's like molestation is the only way you could describe what I did to fucking Gaznia in 2008 final series at Brookvale Oval, and apart from spurt and sauce, he did nothing to nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just flicking through the drawer actually. So, yeah, okay. So there they've got him at Brookvale on the 16th of July, Friday night.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
He might have a strained hamstring that night, but pleased to see Dufty back in the side for the Dragons. He'll obviously add a different element, certainly to what they showed last week, which was fuck all against the Tigers. I'm actually going to tip the Dragons in this one. I think the Broncos, this time of year away from home, I don't think the Broncos
are significantly, you know, for the first, you know, not for the first time, but, you know, for one of the few times in their history of the club, this is one of those years where they're not too origin affected. In the scheme of things, I don't find them. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, you know, Coates has his good games and everything, but he's not an individual game breaker who's going to change the fortunes of the entire side either way. You know,
he's not. But over the course of 80 minutes, he's a pretty big impact on that team.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'd say almost to the extent of Toto, just in how he sets up their sets.
Yeah, I don't know if I would rate him even half that highly.
I don't think they utilize him anywhere near as much as what they potentially could.
And but exactly. In that team dynamic, I'm not saying he's as good as Toto.
Sure.
Honestly, look, you know, I'm still not fucking comfortable with this DeBellin thing, and you know, I'm happy for the Dragons to cop fucking hideous loss after hideous loss.
Mm.
While somehow at the same time, Matthew Dufty playing amazing and you know what I mean, and cementing himself.
Yeah. But, and you know what though? I'm also happy for fucking Dufty to not, after his and fucking Lomax's Instagram
rant. Oh, he was on there as well, was he?
Well he was hugging.
I heard about Lomax, but I didn't know Dufty was, I mean, if that's the case then I can wipe him happily.
So
sorry, what was that? What did they do?
Zach Lomax posted an Instagram shot of him and Dufty hugging DeBellin after he'd come off at Reggie's.
Right.
And, like, you know, put in JDB and put in the love heart eyes emojis after it.
I saw someone tweeted what I think was a transcript of an interview, and someone asked Lomax, you know, has JDB changed, you know, at all, and he sort of was like, no, he's still the same. So what does that mean? He's still a dodgy guy that fucks around and he's pregnant and misses and potentially legally in legally questionable ways.
Mate, if that experience, guilty or not guilty or innocent, if that experience doesn't change someone, anyone,
yep.
Yeah,
fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Right. Friday night. Match of the round, boyos. The West Tigers take on the Penrith Panthers at Leichhardt Oval. So, has Luciano got off yet? We're recording on Tuesday night. He got off? Okay, so he'll take his spot on the side. Offhand Galway is playing for Queensland, so he misses it. Seafarth starts in his place, and Stefano joins the bench. The Panthers side, obviously, bulk changes here, with Cleary, Luai, To'o, Yeo, Martin, and Appy all missing on origin duty. Dylan Edwards is back at fullback, at least now. I mean, I don't know if that's cemented, is it? I mean, he's named, but I'm not sure if he's 100%.
That's it.
Crichton moves to the centres, which allows Burton to join Tyrone May in the halves. Robert Jennings comes in on the wing for To'o and Kenny at hooker. Sorensen and Eisenhuth get the nod for Yeo and Martin in the back row. Lemieux replaces Moses Leotis, who's suspended. Salmon, Hopgood, Smith and Tago, the new look interchange players. So, look, at the end of the day, Panthers are missing a fuck a lot of players. However, while they're not replacing, well, there's obviously, you can't do like for like replacements for some of those, you know, some of those players, like the halves, for example. However, Matt Burton is on a fucking purple patch.
He's on a tear.
Of form at the moment, and I'm sure that he will acquit himself fucking extremely well in the six. Tyrone May also has had plenty of time in that first grade side recently and would feel right at home. You know, is he at home shouldering a massive burden of of the game, you know, rather than being like a guy that, you know, jumps on and maybe, you know, plays minutes into centers and shit like that. You know, we'll see. But at the end of the day, you know, the forward pack still looks pretty good to me.
Except for Kenny's
done the job.
Yo, Martin, Coruscant. You know,
no, I didn't say it was changes. I said it still looks pretty good to me. I don't say anything about changes. I'm saying it still looks pretty good. Like, I'm happy with Lemieux there. I'm happy with James Fisher-Harris still being there and, you know, being the producer of the bunch anyway. You know, Kikau still there. So at the end of the day, you know, I still think they're going to win by fucking 13 plus. The fucking West Tigers ain't shit. And even given an absolute fucking gold-plated, gift-wrapped, fucking platinum opportunity to win a game.
I normally only see that sparkle in your eye when you're previewing a Manly game, my boy. Here you are.
I just look, the West Tigers playing Origin depleted sides is the reason why the baby whatevers is in the lexicon of rugby league fandom.
Yeah, that is true.
That was a lot of years ago.
And these Panther Cubs.
The Panther Cubs are going to be the next fucking thing.
Fucking
Panther. Are untested. They're raw. They're inexperienced. But they will go out there and just represent themselves and their jersey with nothing but pride. This game is the West Tigers to lose. They should, by all rights, as a first grade football team, they should win this game by 20 points minimum.
They've got Dally M halfbacks. They've got fucking Origin players. They've got players that are worthy of Origin and finals football according to
Dally
themselves
M,
in that side.
Dally M wingers.
Essentially, every week at training, you should be doing opposed runs against teams of this Panthers experience level. Every week. This is legitimately a training exercise for the Tigers.
Look, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And I'm glad that after all this time and countless episodes of talking absolute fucking rubbish, that you've finally come to the table with some truth. And, you know, whilst the Tigers, I feel like they're in a position here, and it's a shame. It's a shame that they haven't pushed Origin back to the end of the year. Again, you know, that could have been a thing. And it would have been an opportunity for the Tigers to burst the Panthers' bubble. The only thing that would have burst harder and faster than the Panthers' bubble, should this have been a full-strength Panthers side, was Teenage Hyman's in Mount Druitt. It's the only thing breaking faster. But it turns out that we're not getting the Glenmore Park gods. We're getting the Mount Druitt meth heads, and they'll be dealt with accordingly. These little fucking upstarts that think that they're going to climb out of the gutters of Mount Druitt and aspire to the lofty heights of Glenmore Park that they think is like Beverly fucking Hills, but it's still fucking Penrith. West Tigers, 13 plus.
Yeah, well,
the more you put on, the more you get back.
I thought better of you.
No, you didn't. You don't. You never do. You never have. That's a lie.
To incite class warfare and to judge someone on a situation in life that they didn't choose for themselves.
And that you yourself fucking emerged from.
Like that area, you're talking about generational disadvantage through systemic racism and other bigotry.
Disadvantaged. They're disadvantaged because they're fucking given Penrith jerseys the moment they come out of the fucking womb. That's the problem. That's why they're disadvantaged.
Yeah, fight.
So, again, West Tigers game to lose. And at the end of this one, there is one thing for certain. For certain, you will find, is Glenn somehow finding a way to make this loss Ivan Cleary's fault.
Well, that's always Tigers fandom in general, isn't it? It's like
never,
fucking
never once,
busy.
Never once have I blamed Ivan Cleary. Never once have I rubbished him.
Well, you fucking should, like, especially when the team beats you. He's their coach. It's his fault.
He's a also, good coach. He's a good coach. He's got a good group, but this ain't the fucking group.
The other reason why Glenn hasn't, you know, been one of the Tigers fans that have just been all about Ivan Cleary when they've had a loss is because Glenn was fucking too cowardly to even be on Twitter during that fucking painful post-breakup period after Ivan had left them. Yes. He didn't come on till 2 years down the track. So of course,
Matt Eisenhuth revenge game.
I mean, honestly, there's fucking a million revenge games, isn't it? If you think about it, if you think of it like, you know, the water under the bridge that's gone either way towards, you know, from the Tigers and the Panthers.
Let's be honest, the Dane Laurie revenge game certainly outweighs that, only because Laurie outweighs him as a footballer and as a person. And the Tigers will crush these Mount Druitt meth heads.
All right. Saturday, the Storm take on the Titans at Sunshine Coast Stadium. The Storm side. Okay, so Kenny Bromwich returns, and he'll slot straight into where Felice Kaufusi would have been if he wasn't playing for Queensland. Rama Plate replaces Addo Carr on the wing. Johns at 5'8". Safa Solomona front row. Chris Lewis benched. Titans side. Brimson, Fotuaika, Fifita, and Tino out on Origin duty. So Jaden Campbell, son of Preston, debuts at fullback. Jolliffe replaces Fotuaika up front. Stone for Fifita in the back row. McIntyre the lock for Tino. Ash Taylor returns in the halves with Tanner Boyd left out of the 17. Debutant Joseph Vuna. Club debutant, I should say. I mean, he did play for the Warriors a couple of years ago. Aaron Clark and Jai Whitbread on the bench. So, the Titans, absolutely fucking woeful defense, as we spoke about in the recaps episode this week. The Melbourne Storm, you know, as injury riddled as they've been through the season thus far, this side doesn't look that fucking different.
I was just looking at their forwards. I had to remind myself who was actually out.
It's like legit Addo Carr, Munster, and Felice Kaufusi. And so, like,
Harry Grant.
And well, Harry Grant, yeah, but I mean, Harry Grant wasn't there. Yeah, he hasn't been there for them either. I mean, he's sort of coming back into the Queensland camp in the hope of making the game. So they're still going to have Brandon Smith there in nine. They've still got Jerome Hughes. They've still got Nico Hines tearing shit up. Yeah, obviously Fox is a big out, but at the end of the day, he is a winger as well. And if, you know, Olin does his job like he has been so far through this season, he can feed Dino just as well as he can feed Fox. So
I feel like the Titans, as bad as they were last week, when they're at their best, their entire game plan is destruction on the edges through Fifita and Tino, neither of which are in
this game.
Everyone's
not there. Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
I don't give the Titans a fucking hope.
No, I would agree.
Correct.
Storm are going to absolutely slaughter them. Okay, so moving on to the final game. Knights take on the Eels at McDonald Jones Stadium. Clemmer suspended, so Suaso Su starts up front. Jacob Saifidi fills the vacant spot from his brother, who's on New South Wales duty. Brody Jones replaces Tyson Frizzell, who's injured. And Sasagi, Jack Johns, and Kurt Mann join the bench. Eels side. So Reed Marnie's going to be there. Now he's been released from Queensland duty. Dylan Brown and RCG are back. And so Oregon Kaufusi is benched. Arthur's drops the reserves. Junior Paulo is missing on New South Wales duty. So Nikoroi plays up front. Hayes Dunster starts on the wing. And the reason he starts on the wing is because they have dropped Blake Ferguson.
Dropped.
And Will Smith returns on the bench. So Blake Ferguson, they hid Wunga Blake over the other side of the field last weekend after he was fucking dusted by Manly. The same thing happened on that side of the field. And so I guess they feel like from process of elimination that it must have been Fergo was a constant out there. So it must have been him and not Wayne Blake. So
we'll replace a dumpster with a dunster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, look,
I can't say I'm looking forward to this game.
Look, Parramatta are by and large unaffected by Origin. The Knights unaffected through lack of quality, and I think that this is the game for the Eels to get themselves back on track well and truly.
That's it. It is an opportunity for them to really say, okay, yep, we've had some slips, but we're going to get back to that fast-paced brand of football we were playing at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
I think Parramatta will be too strong.
Yeah, easily.
I agree.
Okay, we're recording this one earlier this week, so the mailbag is somewhat reduced, but we had some comments through on the on the loose episode that was our Sunday recap episode this week. And Beager Rod, who I haven't heard from in ages, but he's obviously still on there, but he's in regards to your Manscaped.
That's because if that fucking place is not on fire, they've got fucking sharks eating cunts out at Tathra. Or... freaking, you know, all this other stuff. Like, for a gorgeous part of the world, they've copped a fucking rough go of it. So, Beager Rod, you've basically just survived the fucking Walking Dead. Congratulations. Welcome back.
And he said, I love how trusting Glenn was to send video and a photo of his manscaping machine in operation. Has anyone checked Manscaped's OnlyFans page? He's gone, hashtag new income stream. We were talking about a consistent contributor, Lambretta GP1971 on Twitter, replied talking about, musing about what his name may mean. He said, Lambretta GP1971 used because I'm using just Lambretta gave me Lambretta 484734, blah, blah, as if millions of people wanted Lambretta. GP is a model designation. 1971 is the last year the GP model or any model was made. Also, it was the year I was shat into existence. So, and he's and attached a picture of a Lambretta scooter, moped situation. Yep. And he said, the least Grand Prix of anything given the label GP. Some kind of innocent, he must have had a sense of humor, a two-stroke hairdryer, and they named it GP. And we had at Lazy Larry. Said, I listened over breakfast on the drive to work, and I find out we've got two new guys starting today, both named Greg. Thank fuck I didn't have to teach them. I was too busy laughing.
Oh, fuck. Hilarious.
So, thank you for those comments. And like, the Facebook group in particular was subjected to an absolute avalanche of Greg
Ryan.
Just like the people singling out the Gregs in the Facebook group. And and Cruzy also talking about your Manscaped. He said, what a fucking marketing commercial for Manscaped today. It just makes you want to buy it, doesn't it? He said, also, the episode should have been called Terry Folds. So,
no, I'm not trying to get sued by fucking Comedy Central.
Yeah, that's right. And finally, Greg Bale in the Facebook group said, 8 minutes in, and on the way to get my name legally changed. Hashtag Greg's a cunt.
I'll tell you what. Do you ever see that documentary, Blue Eyes?
Don't think so. No.
It was a social doco. I want to say it was the 60s. I want to say it was the 60s, and it was this super progressive teacher in America. Who essentially gets her class and then separates them based on eye color. And it's a comment on race.
Okay.
And so picture this in 1960s America, where you've got, you know, still segregation in schools, and even if a black kid comes to your school, they can't use the same bubbler as the white kids. And
yep.
All that. So, and so you come back in from recess and all of the kids with blue eyes are, fine, they can do what they want, they can sit in the good places, they get all the good toys, they can, you know, the teacher always calls on them, and all the people with brown eyes are second class citizens.
Mm-hmm. And this is done for the purpose of experimentation and making an example of the
Teach the kids what it feels like, that something about your body that you can't control. Much like Glenn's comment on people's social status. but then she switches it, and so the people that had the privilege lose it and become the oppressed.
Yep.
And fuck, that it's insane and scary how quickly people and especially kids turn on.
Yeah. How quickly the oppressed ones take full advantage of the power when granted.
That's it.
To them, yeah.
So in a couple of weeks, we're going to throw another name out there and just watch the Greggs rise up.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have to do a search through the group and try and get like some sort of, you know, like a similar number. People, because one thing I did find out through the last episode was that we had way more fucking Greggs in that group than I thought. There was a good like dozen.
To paraphrase Tom Segura, like there's only like eight names, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Where are we? So that's it. Anyway, that's full time for episode 404. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. So hit up thisweekinleague.com/links, and there you'll find links to our Patreon, our social media communities, and more. If you'd like to support the show, join our Patreon as a patron. It's a fucking great gang of people over there. We appreciate all you guys there. Give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Fucking tell a friend. Love the way that people are doing that. Before we close the show, I'll just give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons. Kim. Tremendous person. Also, was doing an event at Caxton Street somewhere on Caxton Street around Magic Round, and grabbed one of the promo footballs and passed it on to, so I could give it to Killer. So thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Scotty and Bethany, who's a long-term member and supporter of the show, we appreciate you.
And fucking travels for meetups, Bethany.
Yep, travels for meetups, travels for games, for club. And,
although right now, fucking stay where you are.
Yeah.
Bat eating fucking Victorian.
Well, no, because she's in Canberra though.
Did you escape?
Yes, yeah, so she's been escaped for a little while. She's dodged the bullet. Okay,
well, fuck that. Stay down there. People in Canberra are fucking horrid as well.
Yeah. Just finally, just got to run through the tipping results. We've got Duhigg has taken the lead. Warmess in second. Lachlan H in third. Jim EKR, whatever the fuck, was first and dropped down to fourth now. What do we got there? Hustle of Vista Baby played against Sammy. Who's that? Repsa 85. Benny Tippy. Drewy's Drop Kicks. And How About the Tip? Into the top 10. So,
how good.
Congratulations, everyone who I just read out, and continued good health and success in your tipping adventures going forward. That's it. Anything
before
else?
Before we sign off, yes. I do just want to run through, we are going to run a competition for our listeners. Mm-hmm. So, in an effort to allow you guys to contribute to the show, interact with the show and each other, in as many possible ways as we can. We started off with a Twitter community and then added to that a Facebook group, which was one of the fucking greatest moves we've ever made. Yep. We're now adding to that an Instagram page, and we will put game threads up essentially on there every week. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to leave game comments on there as well. So if Twitter or Facebook are not your social media drugs of choice, then you do have a third one, and just fucking putting it out there. The goal is for us to get big enough that we can go toe-to-toe with these black rice-touting fucks and have just as big a platform and absolutely fucking bury them. Like, run at them at every given opportunity. That's the Insta goals. But the competition will have a prize of a brand spanking new Manscaped weed whacker.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is get onto Instagram, find This Week in League, follow the page.
Yeah, just This Week in League. The Instagram handle is This Week in League. Yeah, so just the full name, yep.
And in 3 weeks, we'll take a snapshot of all the followers, and we'll be randomly sending out a Manscaped weed whacker to one lucky listener.
Boom.
How good.
And Glenn's just smiling, just going back to the good times when him and Manscaped customer service were sending dick pics back and forth and just really bonding.
That Zoom is really impressive.
That's why you got the replacement so quickly. Boss, I know it's out of company policy, but please can you send him a new one so he stops sending me pictures of his dick?
I thought it was more like just like,
I feel sorry for him.
Dan, I mean this the guy, you know, the guy needs help.
Yeah.
I mean, he really needs help.
This thing is that sharp. This guy's just severed his own penis with it. That's what it looks like.
Sir, is there a medical term for something that's just not quite a pube?
On that note, pleasure chatting as always, fellas. And
lovely.
We'll talk to you boys again on Sunday. Oh, members, patrons, due to some stuff that has to go on this week, we will record the member side. It'll be up on Sunday this week rather than Wednesday night.
That's it.
Okay, just so you're aware. And I don't get a million emails asking if it's up yet. It'll be up on Sunday night, late Sunday this week coming, okay? So other than that, that's all I've got. Talk to you boys on Sunday.
Later.
Okay, see ya.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.